We continue five lines down from the top on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The new topic. Hahu gavra damra li lechavre imizabinin Allah lehaara lecham imizabinin Allah. As the man says to his friend, look, if I'm going to sell this property, I'm going to sell it to you. That's the deal. But I'm not planning to sell it. Azal zavna lin shachrina. But a couple years later, he ends up selling it to somebody else. Amar Rav Yosef, so says Rav Yosef, who is the owner of the property? The first guy can come and claim that he's supposed to get it. Amar Rav Yosef Kanakama. The first guy gets it because he was promised that he was the one who was going to purchase it, have the option to purchase. Amar Li Abaye says, wait a second, why should the first guy acquire it? V'halo pasak. They never agreed on a price. He just said, I'm going to sell it to you. But no agreement of price was made, no stipulation of price was made, and therefore it should go to the second one. So says Gemara, asking on Abaye, Umina temra tochol hecha de lo pasak lo kana. How do you know that so long as you don't set a price, you cannot acquire it, and therefore it should go to the second one? That's not. So you have to learn in a bright Mishnah. Hamochar yena lovet kechavim. This is our Mishnah. A person sells wine to another kechavim. Pasak achla mada damav mutarin, mada dachla pasak damav asurin. It says that if you measure without setting a price, the money is usher. Clearly, in order to acquire something, you have to set a price. So, my haviyala, what do we rule here? So, Gemara asks, my haviyala, what do you mean? What do you rule here? Kidika amrina, like we just said. If you don't set a price, you cannot make a kenyan. And therefore, Abaye is right. It should go to the second guy. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Dilma chumra yayin nesach shiny. Maybe this Mishnah, which is talking about yayin nesach, is a chumra that's only about yayin nesach. That when it comes to yayin nesach, in order to acquire it, you have to agree on a price. But everything else, you don't need to agree on a price. So right now, it seems to be following Abaye that should belong to the second, the actual purchaser. So Tashma, let's say a new braisa. Dam Rav Idi Bar Avin Uvda Habe Be Rav Chista Rav Chista Be Rav Huna. They had this sort of situation, and they answered the shaila from the following brisa of the Tanya. Here they did mashicha. What happened? The mashicha was done on the chamarav upoalav, on the donkey and the workers. So the donkeys and the workers were carrying the load. And they did mashicha on the person or on the donkey in order to be kona, the load on top of it. And they brought it into the home. So that was how the mashicha was done. Either way, kenyan doesn't work. Rashi explains, kenyan doesn't work because mashicha works only on the actual item that you're doing the mashicha on, not on something else which is holding the items which we're trying to make a mashiach on. Ushnein yechol anachzer ben, and therefore both of them can back out. But now we get to the case that's more pertinent to us. Pirkan, if he removes the food on top of them that the man was carrying, v'yechanis en lasoch beso, and then he brings it into his house, so that's a real mashiach. Pasak ad shelo madad, if he sets a price before they measure the amount of food he's going to take, ein shnein yechol anachzer ben, because a price was set. But if they measure it without fixing a price, they both are able to back out. So what do you see? This is a case of not setting a price. And when you didn't set a price, who was able to bekone it? It's the second one. Since they can both back out, they can both back out. Therefore, it appears that the items should go to the second guy, since the first guy's claim is nothing because they didn't set a price in advance. Now the Gemara continues. Hahu gavra d'amrei li lechavre imizabinin Allah lahaara mizabinin Allah b'me'azuzei. If he says, now I'm going to sell you the property if I ever sell it, and they agree on a price of $100. But then he ends up selling it for 120 to somebody else. So now who gets it? Amar Rav Kana, Kana Kama. The first guy deserves it because they already set up, they agreed on a price. But Rav Yaakov, Maskevla Rav Yaakov, Minar Pekod, Haizuzi Ansuvu. What do you mean? The money forced his hand. What do you mean? As Rashi explains, yes, it's true that he agreed on a price with the first guy. However, it was never in his mind to actually sell the field. In fact, he wasn't ever going to sell the field for $100. But when he got an offer that he couldn't refuse, it was $120. It was a markup of so much that he couldn't say no. At that point, he said, you know what? I'm going to sell it because this is a deal that I can't refuse. It's too good to be true. And therefore, even though granted he agreed on a price, that was presuming that he was planning to sell it. Since he was never planning to sell it, he was only willing to sell it because he made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Therefore, the second guy should be the one who acquires it. And the halacha follows Rav Yaakov Nar Pekod that it goes to the second guy. Next, Amrle Kedeshaimi Betlasa. So now, what happens if one of them says that let's base it on how three people estimate the property? In other words, Rashi says, "Amrle Kedeshaimi Betlasa Mizabinenala Nihilach." I'll sell it to you based on the rate that's given according to the value, based on the value of three people. In other words, he didn't set a specific price, he set a price based on the valuation of three people. Well, that means even two out of three is fine. Why? Because when you say kiddushaymi betlasa, as three would estimate, you're essentially talking about a based in, and therefore if two out of three will always win, so essentially you only need two people to give you an estimate, and that will be enough if they come at the same price. Kid amri bitlasa, but if you say not kidishaimi bitlasa, that three will estimate, but rather as three will say, then ad amri bitlasa, then you specifically want three people. Kidishaimi ba'arba, if you say like four people estimate, now what? Says the Gemara, ad amri ba'arba, now you need four people exactly to say something. Why? Rashi explains, because when you say that you want four people to evaluate, what does that mean? Four you can't go after Rove since you have four, and you can't be asking for three specifically since you didn't say three specifically. So when you say for four, it must mean that we're talking about all four. Exactly. The kol shekhen, and obviously, hecha d'amr le kida amri ba'arba. So just like you say the way four would estimate it, or four say it, it's all going to be the same in that context, in that instance. Amr le. So now here's about another case. Amrele kiddushaymi betlasa. What happens if he says, as three people will evaluate, fa'asu tlasa v'shemu, and three people came and estimated, fa'amrele idach, and the other guy says, wait a second, leisu tlasa acharini, I want three others to come and estimate, tekim lutfe, they know better. Can we ignore the first three? So it sounds like they both didn't agree on the first three. There was one guy suggested the three, and then afterwards the second guy just wasn't so thrilled with it, so he wants a new rate. But if both of them agreed on the first three, I don't know how he could ask for another three. So anyway, Amar Rav Papa, Dinahu D'Ma'akev, says Rav Papa, yeah, you have to get the other three to test it out. Maskel Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua Mimai Dahani Kim Lutfe Dilmahani Kim Lutfe. Who says that these next three are going to be any better than the previous three? That seems like a silly request, that they're going to be better. Therefore, no, you're stuck with the three that you had already. And the halacha does follow Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua that you have to follow the ruling of the first three.